If you tap into your true story and share that truth, it resonates with people. That's Michelle Obama. Here are some words from The Atlantic in 2018. On Monday, as Oprah Winfrey's stirring acceptance speech at the Golden Globe secured a place in the national conversation, Byron Tao of the Wall Street Journal tweeted, "Oprah employed a phrase that I've noticed a lot of other celebrities using these days, your truth, instead of the truth. Why that phrasing? He fretted that your truth undermines the idea of shared common facts." That was 2018. 6 years later, it's actually a commonly accepted truism that there are different types of truth. There's your truth and there's my truth. But there was a time when the concept of my truth was a strange one. Sure, there was my opinion or my perspective, but not so much my truth. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this rich and full expression of what faith in you and worship of you looks like through all that we've seen and sung and experienced in the service so far. And Lord, I thank you for each and every person that's here who has chosen to join us this morning. And Lord, I pray that our hearts would be like ready ground, ready to receive the seeds of your word. You are the one who draws. You are the one who changes our minds and our hearts. And so, Lord, we just express our willingness to hear from you this morning. Amen. Amen. Let's read our scripture this morning. Mark chapter 16, 1-8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome brought spices so that they might go anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way up to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who is crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him, but go tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. So Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, observed the following. This is what they saw. They saw that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb, that it was not there. They also saw that the body of Jesus was not in the tomb. They saw that there was a young man dressed in white sitting in the tomb in place of the body. And this young man then engaged them in a conversation, starting with the words, "Don't be alarmed." He told them they were looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified, which isn't rocket science because they were in his tomb. They knew that that had happened. This young man then said, "He's risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him." Now, I say this young man engaged them in conversation, but really it was a one-way street. He did a whole lot of talking while they did a whole lot of not talking. Maybe you know people like that. It was a bit of a one-way conversation. He continues on and says, "But go tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." And this is what they saw and heard according to Mark. We then literally read the last words in the Gospel of Mark, in the book of Mark, that says this: "Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid." This was their truth, that they were trembling and they were bewildered. They were confused. They fled. They said nothing. They were afraid. I find it intriguing that the results for all of these women, for these first responders, was fear and confusion, was shaking with tremors, was fleeing in silence. This was their truth. This was their response to the resurrection. Regardless of what the young man said to them, they were full of doubt and trepidation and angst. The reason? Because they just heard something that freaked them out. They had just heard words from this young man hanging out in the tomb that made literally no sense whatsoever. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. If you had gone to them at that very moment in their life and asked them what they thought was going on, I'm pretty sure that their response would not have been, "Jesus is risen again because it's Easter." That's probably not what they would have said. This was not their truth. No, their truth actually silenced them. Their truth actually confused them. It made them afraid, and their truth caused them to run for their lives. This was their truth. And this is where Mark leaves us. This is how the Gospel of Mark ends, hanging in suspense. What a way to end the Gospel. Now, some enterprising person later on added some stuff which made it into many Bibles. But if it is in your Bible, then it's in italics and it's in a bracket with a disclaimer that the earliest manuscripts don't contain this extra content. So verse 9 through verse 20, if your Bibles have them, is like a summary of the different appearances that Jesus makes after the resurrection, after which Jesus then preaches a short sermon, which is amazing and encouraging and really triumphal. He then, mid-sermon, gets lifted up to heaven, and he sits at the right hand of God, and then the disciples go, and they preach everywhere, and God confirms their message through signs and wonders. And the extra content kind of resolves the tension that we're left in verse 8. Verse 9 and onwards actually says verse 8 isn't the end. There's all this good stuff that happens afterwards. And yes, indeed, there is all this good stuff that happens afterwards. But the reality is that verse 9 and onwards feels awkward. It feels extra. If you read it in your Bible, you know, the tone and the expressions and just everything sounds out of place. Because the reality is that Mark ends with these words. He ends with these words. He says, trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. And maybe some of you this morning can resonate with these women. You've heard these words from this young man in the tomb that we happen to find out later is an angel, a messenger from God. And you say, well, I'm not even sure if angels exist. And I'm not even sure if Jesus actually rose from the dead. I mean, it all sounds so absurd. Or maybe you've wrestled with this idea of God, and frankly, it scares you that the implications of there being a supreme God is too much for you to handle. And so you live as if it's not true. Especially a God who, in the words of Mark 16, verse 6, is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. There is a God who has gone ahead of you. There is a God who wants you to see him. There is a God who wants you to meet him in order to have an encounter with him. And this thought that there is a personal God who died and who rose again who wants to know you and is waiting for you is such a massive thought that you cannot even wrap your mind around it. And so it's easier to run. It's easier to escape from the messenger in the empty tomb who tries to tell you the good news. It's easier to return back to your truth. It's easier to go back to your way of making sense of this world, except on Easter when you're here. And I would guess that probably some of you are running this morning. Sure, you're here because it's Easter, and I'm glad that you're here. I'm absolutely thrilled. But you're here because it's Easter, and you can't wait to hightail it out of here or to start the Easter egg hunt afterwards. To return to a normal world where you don't hear words like death and resurrection and angels and empty graves. Because if these things are true, then they change everything. If they're a fairy tale or a myth, then you can go back to your life as it was. But if they're true, and true in the truest sense of the word true, then something is being required of you. It changes how you live. A response is expected. So you have his truth, her truth, your truth, my truth. Well, let me introduce you to the truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John 14, verse 6. Jesus said this, "If you hold onto my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." John 8, 31. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever." What an amazing promise. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Jesus said, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." John 16, 13. Jesus said, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world." John 17:17. And Jesus said to Pilate before his death, he said, "The reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone who is on the side of truth listens to me." John 18:37. And Pilate's response, which was way ahead of his time, was, "What is truth? What is truth? What is truth?" The truth is what the young man, the angel, said to Mary Magdalene, and to Mary, the mother of James, and to Salome. The truth is this: don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene. The truth is that we're all searching. I was talking to someone last week who recently made Jesus king of his life. And he said this. He said, "Everyone is searching for Jesus. They just don't know it yet. Everyone's searching for Jesus. They just don't know it yet." And the Jesus that you're looking for is not a myth, is not a figment of your imagination. He's not a crutch or wishful thinking for the weak-minded. He's Jesus the Nazarene. He's rooted in history. He lived in a place. He's actually attested to having existed both inside the Bible and outside the Bible. He lived in Nazareth. He's historical. He is real. What is truth? This is truth. What is truth? Who was crucified? Jesus, who was crucified. The truth is that Jesus died for your sin and for my sin. He died as the perfect man so that he could atone, so that he could pay for our sins as the God-man, 100% God and 100% man. He died in my place and he died in your place. He was crucified. What is truth? truth is, don't be alarmed. He said, you're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. He was crucified and he was buried, but he did not stay in the tomb. He rose again. He is risen. And because of his resurrection, we have the hope that death is not the end. Right now, death is our final enemy. And thanks to Jesus, death has been defeated. See, the place where they laid him, the truth of God asks us to examine it, not just to take someone's word for it, but to examine it for yourself, to actually check it out, to research, to look into it. Jesus is not afraid of truth seekers. Because Jesus is the truth, and if you seek truth and seek it with all your heart, then you will find him. Don't be alarmed. He said, you're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him, but go and tell his disciples and Peter he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. The truth of Jesus invites us into a life of action, of going and of telling, of pointing to him, of inviting other people to experience what you already know, that Jesus is alive and that he's changing lives. You know, the two Marys and Salome soon found out that what the angel said was actually true. They encountered themselves, the risen Christ. Their moment of bewilderment and confusion, of silence and fear, actually gave way to this glorious moment where they encountered Jesus, who is dead and is now alive. And their truth did not change the truth. And so in a world of my truth and your truth and his truth and her truth, hear the one truth that truly matters. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world in order to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And if your truth says that you don't need Jesus, then the truth says otherwise. And if your truth says that you can make it alone by figuring things out yourself, the truth says something else. And if your truth says that there is no purpose to this life, the truth says something else. And if your truth says that Jesus wouldn't want someone like you, the truth says otherwise. And if your truth says that you have done way too many bad things for Jesus to ever love or want you, the truth says gloriously and wonderfully and amazingly completely otherwise. And just like the angel told the women, Jesus is waiting for you. He has gone ahead of you. He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you to come to him. And if you go to him in simple faith, with a heart of trust, if you come to him in repentance and faith, you will find him. And so over these next few weeks, as we continue in this post-Easter season, we're going to be looking at what life looks like following the way of truth, this way of Jesus. We'll be focusing on what it means for us as we believe, and then we belong, and then we become. And so I would invite you, if Easter is the only time that you show up to church, why not give it a chance? And so whatever Michelle Obama or Oprah says, your truth will not change the truth. Mary and Salome will testify to this truth. And the more than 500 people in 1 Corinthians 15 who saw the resurrected Jesus at one time will also testify to this truth of the risen Christ. And those baptized this morning have already testified to this truth of the risen Christ. And I testify that this truth is true. Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen